Welcome to the Jazz Shapers podcast from Mishkon Dorea. What you're about to hear was originally broadcast on Jazz FM. However, the music has been cut due to rights issues.
This is Jazz Shapers with Elliot Moss on Jazz FM. In partnership with Mishkon Dorea. It's business, but it's personal. Listening colour.
Hello and a very warm welcome to this special edition of Jazz Shapers live from the Love Supreme Jazz Festival. Fantastic, as you can tell, I'm not alone. I'm Elliot Moss, and Jazz Shapers is where I get to bring the shapers of the business world together with the greatest musicians shaping the world of jazz, soul and blues. My guests today are pioneers in both business and music. Gary Crosby OBE and Janine Irons OBE, founders of Tomorrow's Warriors. Tomorrow's Warriors, the creative producer and talent development agency, increasing opportunity, diversity and excellence in and through jazz. As a founding member of the Jazz Warriors, an influential collective of young black musicians, Gary had a long-held love of supporting younger people, rooted in his time in youth clubs in the 70s and later working with apprentices at his construction job. Meanwhile, trained in classical piano and contemporary dance and hating her city job, find out if that's true, Janine, as a PA for an international bank, Janine blagged her way, perish the thought, into one of Gary's Jazz Jamaica gigs and was driven to try and make the young black musicians she saw there more visible in a jazz scene that was, as she says, pale, male and stale. Janine and Gary founded Tomorrow's Warriors in 1991, aiming to nurture aspiring young artists from diverse backgrounds to, and I quote, discover their magic and realize their creative ambitions. They've since supported an incredible 15,000 individuals and are credited with tearing up the international music scene. Not bad. And why are they able to say that? Because with wildly influential alumni at Tomorrow's Warriors, including a shout out for Nubia Garcia, Dennis Baptiste, Shabaka Hutchins, Moses Boyd, Soweto Kinch, the members of Ezra Collective, Zara McFarlane, Nathaniel Facey, Bunker Golding. I could go on. Gary Crosby, OB, Janine Irons, OB. For those of you in the know, and most of you are in the know, these two people are probably the most influential people behind what I think has been the resurgence of British and now international jazz. It's extraordinary. It's an absolute honour to have you two here, Gary and Janine. I'm going to start with Janine, just because everyone always starts with Gary. I know, it's tempting. Working together, married together. Good advice to people? Go do that?
Well, we're not actually married, so we're... although I've been thinking about it, maybe we should. You know.
How many years have you been together?
32?
33.
Yeah.
And
something like that.
And in 1991, when you started working together, did it seem like a sensible idea?
He started it off, didn't you, at the Jazz Cafe, but yeah. I came along 2 years later. I mean, we didn't think about, you know, immediately we didn't think we were going to do it together. It's only when we kind of got together and we thought, actually, we make a really good team. Yeah, but it's kind of worked for us, hasn't it?
Yeah, of course it's worked.
We're still
but
together.
I think I was having fun for 2 years, then I invited Janine to a club I used to play, and she said, this is not fun, this is work. So it starts 2 years after, well, Janine started the Tomorrow's Warriors. Prior to that, it was just Gary and friends hanging out at the Jazz Cafe.
And, you know, that place in between the Gary and friends hanging out and then Janine bringing some structure and some business
That's
to
exactly
it.
Exactly the wording.
Was that, you were obviously open to that, and I guess you're one of your mantras has been young musicians need to know how to run the business.
Of course. Although I was a musician and have been and come from a musical background, I was also an engineer that used to work, you know, for the local council, for private individuals. So I understood not only just dialogue between different individuals, but trade. Input must equal output. So I was always aware of that. And I was also aware that the jazz community didn't like money and didn't understand it, hence why we always had managers or agents looking after us. So I was fully aware that we needed structure. And Janine took some photos of me at Union Chapel. And about 6 months later, I needed some photos.
And it wasn't 6 months later. It was about 2 weeks later.
Was it 2 weeks? Is that quick?
There's a story here.
All right.
We'll come back to the story.
But anyway, when she showed me the photos, there was like an invoice, how much I could use it, and everything was just perfect. And I hadn't even bought it yet. And I just thought, that's what, who we need.
There's something I think about a lot. I named some names, which you are both associated with. And I think about this in terms of sport and in business as well. How do you know when you've got a super talented person in front of you? Because it's a game, isn't it? I mean, not everyone is super talented. There might be, and I know we're going to come on, Janine, to your feeling that everyone should have access to music. But Gary, how can you spot him?
Manners. Generally, I base the first time I meet somebody, if they have good manners, just good basic manners, that's it. There's obviously an artistic side to it as well, but that starts first. Just have good manners.
And beyond the manners, you know, you see young people who work really hard and make it, and you see young people who are super talented and don't make it.
All the time. But if they ain't got good manners, they're not coming close to me. And
what do you mean by that? For you, Gary, what do good manners look like?
Polite. Realise that they are obviously an artist, but they're no more important than somebody who may help them to the next stage, where it's a person in marketing, media, on the radio. Just have good manners.
It's about not having ego.
I was going to say, it sounds like humility.
I wouldn't say not having ego, because you need ego.
Not letting your ego get in the way.
Yes.
Yeah.
If you're an
and
artist.
Also showing, but showing real promise and passion for music and what they're doing, you know, and showing interest, I think, in the music.
Yeah, of course.
And actually being able to play, you know, whether it's to play their instrument or to use their voice. But a lot of the time when they come to us, they won't know how good they are.
Yeah.
You know.
I think I read Nubia Garcia was super shy. Nubia Garcia was super shy.
Very exactly. Can I be more... I'm beginning to feel comfortable now, so I can let go.
Go for it.
My dad had it in one word, but you may not understand it. It's a Jamaican term. He said, brought up see. All right. So there's five of us in this house, and he had to control us. And it's, I learned from that, just that word.
Okay, good brought up see.
Of course, there are people who don't have that, a chance to have that experience. But once you're over 17, 18, you got to learn or you fail.
Brought up see. Stay with me for much more brought up see here on this live edition of Jazz Shapers and recorded live at Love Supreme Jazz Festival. They'll be back in a couple of minutes. Don't go anywhere.
Jazz Shapers on Jazz FM. In partnership with Mishkonda Raya. It's business, but it's personal.
You can enjoy all our former business shapers on the Jazz Shapers podcast, and you can hear this very program again if you pop Jazz Shapers into your preferred podcast platform. We're live at the Love Supreme Jazz Festival, and there is a live audience as well, ladies and gentlemen. That's the live audience, just in case you didn't know. My guest today, Gary Crosby, OB, Janine Irons, OB, founders of Tomorrow's War, is the credit producer and talent development agency championing emerging and established jazz musicians. Janine, I read somewhere, and I sort of go back to my studying of Marxism in politics. You said the structure just doesn't work for young black musicians, and this was 30 years ago. Just tell me a little bit more about why there was a mini revolution, why in reality what you've gone and done is created a parallel universe for these musicians. I read again something about your sense of injustice and how that was triggered. Just tell me a little bit more about that.
Well, I've always, throughout growing up and being at school, you know, I didn't have a good experience at school. I went to some very good schools, but I've actually been thrown out of every school I've been to apart from one. And that was because it was a one-year course and I started 2 months in, so I didn't really have enough time to get myself into trouble. But it was really this sense of, you know, I was in the wrong place. You know, I was in a very academic place, although I passed my 11 plus, I've got my O-levels, all of that. But I was a creative person. You know, I studied music, I studied dance. My parents saw the value of the arts. But in the schools I was in, there was no space for that creativity. And hence why I was always, you know, head to head with teachers and everything. But there were a couple of people who championed me at school. So even when I was getting thrown out, you know, they're saying, you know, come around afterwards, I'll help you with your homework and all of that so you don't fall behind. And I think that was one of the most important things, to have somebody championing you. I was also one of very few black people in my school, in all of my schools, in fact. So, you know, and there was definitely a racial element to what was going on. But when I met Garin, I saw, you know, this amazing talent on the stage, but I couldn't see, there was no visibility of these young people in the media or anywhere. And, I just felt we need to do something about it. And part of why they weren't getting those opportunities was because, you know, they were not getting the opportunities at school. A lot of the parents as well were more focused on, you know, they need to be doctors, accountants, lawyers, all of that. So the creative and the artistic side kind of went by the wayside. We also didn't have the teachers. You know, we couldn't see ourselves represented in people teaching it, the people presenting it, the people on the stage, or in the audience, right? So all of this needed to change, and it needed sort of systemic change.
We're live at the Love Supreme Jazz Festival, and I'm now going to ask Gary something I've been thinking about, which is this point about this conversation you had. I think it was in Jamaica, actually, and it was apparently this is what I was told, Gary. You can say, Elliot, it was not in Jamaica. It wasn't my cousin. It was my friend. When did this conversation, this alleged conversation, happen? Where Gary Crosley went, you know what? I love being a musician, but there's more to life than that.
No, that's always been. I've always loved being a musician, and always will be, and it always comes first. But the job that needed to be done required something slightly different. So I've never gone away from being, I've never considered myself an educator. I share and I help others, but I'm not an educator. I've never worked in any of the colleges, although I've had close relationships with them. So I don't know how I've got this title of being an educator.
I suppose
it happens by, what they call it, osmosis.
Yeah.
It's maybe that, but it's never been deliberate.
But you obviously relate to people, just the way that people talk about you, Gary. I mean, so forget the educator thing. What is it, do you think, as you look at a young person that you can really help unlock for them? How do you do it?
A lot of the black players, a lot of them, I'm from the same background, and I knew that. And I knew how to unlock the strengths based on, I understand what their fears and insecurities were.
And is that conversation, though?
Sounding too technical.
No.
It's
because
I'm basically... it's magic. I don't know. Why should I be giving away my secrets? I mean, everybody else is going to do it. It's
magic. It's locked in a box.
Also, I had studied... I know I'm from a very... working class background. I had studied a bit of Freud, and I understood the psychology of people, and I used a lot of that too, because I knew myself what I was like. I knew guys my age how they would respond to a microphone in front of them, or somebody from a different background asking them questions about a supposedly African-American music. I understood that, so I just manipulated those situations that I had experienced.
We're going to come back to you, actually.
Jamaica?
Yeah, the Jamaica question.
It was my cousin. He was the one that ignited, not what I should do, but to do something for my people. Basically, we're up in the mountain in St. Thomas, and he had been there 25 years, had built up a very good business. I was sitting around with him and his workers, and he blew this smoke in my face, a plume of smoke. I don't know what it was, but... And the plume of smoke came with a question, what are you doing in England? And I told him I was going back to play with Becky Musalaki in London at Ronnie Scott's. And he looked at me bemused, carried on talking. Another plume of smoke hit me about 10 minutes later. what are you doing in England? Answered the same question. And then the third time I realized what he was actually saying, because he had already told me what he was doing for his local community. Although he was a landowner, he was also an electrical and mechanical engineer, and he had contributed a lot of his skills to his local community for free. So I believe when he asked me what I was doing in England, he was questioning what I was doing in England. It's there and then I realized how selfish I had become. I was just basically playing music, having a good time.
And just and thank you for being so open about that. But the buzz, Gary, of course you're a musician. The buzz of playing versus the buzz of seeing, A, at the highest level, the incredible kids that have become adults and become brilliant musicians, well brought up, great manners, or B, you playing your music. Which gives you the bigger buzz?
Neither, because it's usually at different times. And the thing about feeling elated happens in a spontaneous moment. You can't carry it to another moment. Your experience is your experience. It can't be, you know, this experience we're having now, 10 seconds later, I can't have the same experience. So they're both equal. As you get older, of course, seeing other people do it, it's quite exciting. It's just as exciting as playing, because I don't play as much. After 8 years ago, you know, I had to slow down a bit. So it's equal. I mean, you agree? Although I believe Janine gets this.
I think I'm guessing we're going to come to Janine, but I'm guessing if she disagreed, she might have. Yeah, I'm not sure.
She can't disagree from my experience.
Well, that's
my
true.
Experience.
It's
my
true.
Experience.
It is true.
Well, I'm not Gary.
Yeah, she can disagree, but. Here we go.
Final chat. Yeah, just hold that. And maybe just let it go. Final chat coming up with Gary Crosby and Ginny Nines. And we've got some new Bayard Garcia as billed earlier for you too. That's in just a moment. Don't go anywhere.
Jazz Shapers on Jazz FM. In partnership with Mishkondorea. It's business, but it's personal.
We're live at the Love Supreme Jazz Festival. Gary Crosby and Janine Lines are my business shapers, my founders, just for a few more minutes. Janine, you're quoted as saying, and I think I know what you meant, that Gary saved you when you met each other. And obviously, I don't think you needed saving, but I imagine you were referring to something specific. Would you explain what that is and where life has taken you since you and Gary Crosby met all those years ago?
Gary saved me in different ways, actually. The first thing was he got me out of the city. You know, I'd been working in the city of London in an international trading company, not on the money-making side, on the admin side, which is where I learned all my skills. But and I hated it because it was all just money, 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 the whole thing, you know, and you were surrounded by a lot of Philistines, frankly. So I wanted to get out of it. And so finding Gary and then sort of him helping me find me and what I was really good at, which was championing other people. You know, I left the city to become a photographer, and I was rubbish at selling me, really. And I very quickly found that out, and I wasn't comfortable selling me. So once I had somebody else to promote, to champion, I found it so much easier, and it made me feel great because I could see others really benefiting from something I could do and seeing them start to excel. So that was the first thing. The second way he saved me was that I had kind of lost myself culturally because I wasn't around anybody who looked like me, and I was getting lost. You know, I mentioned this before that, you know, I worked in an Austrian bank, and I have a horrible, horrible memory of turning up in an Austrian national dress. And it's like, what the hell? What the hell was going on? You know, what was going on in my head? And so I really had lost myself. But it was that whole thing about looking for acceptance from people who were tolerating me, perhaps, you know, but I was trying to get an in where there wasn't one. And so when I met Gary, I found me, you know, he introduced me to people who looked like me. And, you know, that's where I kind of found myself. So that also feeds into what we wanted with Tomorrow's Warriors, so that young people will come into a space where they see people who look like them. They walk like them, they talk like them, you know, and they're interested in all the same things. So that's the environment we've tried to create. And it's not an environment just for people who look like me. It's for people who look like all of us. You know, we want Tomorrow's Warriors to be about all of us. So, yeah, that's
a great answer. Thank you. Gary, I'm going to look forward, because we're going to be running out of time very shortly before we open up to the audience. 30 years plus of doing what you both do. You've created this space. You talk about people sharing the gifts and teaching the next person. What does the next few years look like in terms of you shaping the future of British and international jazz? Is it more of the same?
In terms of shaping the music, not shaping the music, but shaping
the next generation, the scene.
I think Janine is better answered, because I'm not that concerned about the structure side. I mean, I'm confident that the people I work with will look after it. It's not really down to me. The future is not down to me. I'm 70. You know, I've had a stroke, a brain hemorrhage. It's got nothing to do with me. What I'm concerned with is passing on the skills and the attitude, a certain attitude for them to continue. It's not down to me. I to be honest, you've mentioned all these now. I'm going to be real honest with you. I remember speaking with Moses Boyd about the music some of those guys are playing. I'm teaching them Duke Ellington, Coltrane, and they're playing Afrobeat. And I remember asking Moses once about it, and he said, they're not actually playing for me. They're playing for their audience, which is the correct thing. So it has nothing to do with me. As long as the art of improvisation, jazz improvisation, survives and develops, I'm happy. I play with Dennis Baptiste, four times a year, Dennis Baptiste, Andrew McCormack, Rod Youngs. I'm happy, you know, I'm cool.
Gary just wants to play bass.
I was just going to say, this is a guy like, just give me my instrument, please, and leave me alone.
Yeah.
So, fair enough.
That's why, you know, we're well matched.
Yeah,
you know,
he's like, you've got the structure, you've got that. Just
we never argue.
Yeah, yes, we do.
No, I'm loving it. No tension at all. Both got smiles on.
I've never won an argument.
that's a different matter.
Yeah.
It's been fantastic talking to you. We're going to play out with our last track. We've actually chosen Duke Ellington's Second Line. Gary, would you just explain why Duke Ellington is the man for you?
That's one of the hardest questions I've ever asked, because there is no other reason why he shouldn't be one of the greatest, not just musicians, but one of the greatest people that ever came. It's just too much. Looking around, most of you should know Duke Ellington. If you don't,
lots of nodding.
Please start now. That particular track, don't listen to that while you're cooking. You'll burn it up.
Brilliant. Right. Questions. Anyone got a question in the audience? I know we haven't got very long. Yes, can we chuck a mic over there? Fantastic.
Hi. Thank you. That was an amazing speech. I work with 8 to 10-year-olds, and I find it really challenging to get volunteers to work with that age group, either parents or other volunteers. Have you got any advice that might work?
Don't do it. I tend to aim for...
We go older.
Slightly older.
So we just put them up at 11 upwards. And there's a reason for that.
And I personally tend to get involved more with 15, 16-year-olds. They've made a decision that they want. You know, there's so many unused instruments in all of our houses. I know it. You know, it happened to me as well.
Thank you.
But getting volunteers is hard enough anyway.
So start a bit older.
I think for that age group, it's also pretty difficult.
Got time for one or two more questions. Gentleman with the Yamaha cap.
Hi, you've done an amazing job bringing through new talent, but who will carry the torch when you finally retire and decide you're too tired to do it?
I'm glad you asked that, because succession planning is a big thing for us at the moment. You know, we're both getting old, and but we are very determined that tomorrow's warriors will live on well beyond us. So currently we're working on getting our own building for a start, and to set down permanent HQ where the organisation can continue. We've also just taken on a fantastic full-time chief operating officer, who is none other than Dennis Baptiste's wife. So she's a hugely experienced COO. She's set up an international charity with offices in Sierra Leone, in Ethiopia, Kenya, America, and London. So she has a wealth of experience. Plus, she's kind of been by our side since we started Tomorrow's Warriors. You know, so she understands jazz musicians. I mean, if she understands Dennis, she definitely understands jazz musicians. But, you know, we're also, our ethos is each one teach one. So all of our young people have it sort of embedded within them that they have a responsibility to keep this going. So I'm confident that, you know, it will still be there after we decide to hang up the double bass and hang up my, I don't know, computer or whatever it is.
One last question, if there is one. Yes?
Hello, thank you. You said some really inspiring stuff. I was just wondering what advice you would give to young musicians who have the time, the passion, and the talent, but they quite haven't found their direction yet in the industry.
Sort of at what stage?
So I have just finished a music degree, saxophone and clarinet, and I love hip hop, funk and soul, but I'm finding it hard to find a solid direction of where to take it next.
So it's going to be a quick answer. I'm being asked two quick answers.
Try and get as much, as wide as functionality as you can. Yeah. Just think wide. Stop thinking about yourself, your audience, your age group. Think about people in hospital. Just think wide. Yeah, try and get your music through to as many people as possible. It's not a direct answer that you can work out just yet, but within time, you'll see what I'm trying to say. Functionality is the key. It's not about you, it's about them.
Yeah. Can I say, find your tribe, right? It's really important that you find the group of people around you who are going to be able to support you and keep inspiring you. You know, the thing that works with Tomorrow's Warriors, it's a bigger and bigger community of people that just keep inspiring each other. It's important you find your people within the music who are playing the music that you want to be playing. Yeah, of course, there's all this other community stuff you can do outside of it that Gary alludes to. But, you know, for you as an artist, you know, to express yourself, you need to find the people who are going to nourish you musically, you know, and socially. That's really important.
Nice words.
And find a mentor if you can. Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Can I add in one more bit too? Also, Janine mentioned something. You're an artist or an entertainer. Try and blend the two. Think that way.
There you go. There's a thought for the weekend. Fabulous. Please put your hands together for Gary and Janine.
We hope you enjoy that edition of Jazz Shapers. You'll find hundreds more guests available for you to listen to in our archive. To find out more, just search Jazz Shapers in iTunes or your favourite podcast platform, or head over to mishcon.com/Jazz Shapers.